Tonight, Sunday morning, 11/10/24, the title of this is called, it's the Prophet's Corner Uncut, the Voice of the Prophets. We're going to start with Jeremiah chapter 1. Starting with verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Now, we know Jeremiah the prophet was known as the weeping prophet, and I just read through there because he saw the complete destruction of his nation, and he saw Nebuchadnezzar come in and take, you know, some back. It was kind of strange about Nebuchadnezzar. If you submitted to him, he'd let you stay and he'd let you do your life. But if you tried to run from him, he'd kill you while you stood. He was God's instrument of judgment against Israel at that time. All right, they were taken into exile for 70 years. He prophesied to them, and on several occasions, they threw him into pits and prisons until he nearly died just for telling them the truth. He was warning. And it's been that way with the prophets. Jesus is another prime example. This is Matthew 23. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. They threw him in a pit one time, and it was in mud, and they left him so long he nearly died. No water, no food. And it was his son-in-law, the king, or his, his grandson-in-law, I think, Zedekiah. Somewhere in there. I don't think it was just his son-in-law. It was a grandson-in-law married to his granddaughter. All right. Matthew 23:34. Just because they didn't like what he said. 34, wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So Jesus was a prophet, and Jesus was warning them of what was coming. Seems like the prophets have always been persecuted because they speak for God. And because people can't lash out at God and kill God, well, they killed Jesus. That's killing God, isn't it? But anyway, the next best thing are his prophets. All right, now let's look at Paul. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 9. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. to them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest it by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. So Paul became all things to all men that he might win some. That's kind of the way Jesus did it too. The goal is the unity of the faith, building a bridge and not burning a bridge down. All right. Paul paid the price to get the message out, even though it endangered his life on many occasions. He said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. You know, it's kind of like, it's do or die. You don't get away from it. You're called from your mother's womb, and you do not. It doesn't depart from you, regardless of what you do with it. Okay, now go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 1 there. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, prisoner, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, which is above all and through all and in y'all. Isn't it amazing? Everything, anything and everything's out there. But this says there's just one. One of each of these things. One body, one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he laid captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. There is no other way to perfect the saints. God has a divine order. Now we see why the church is in the shape it's in. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. No compromise of other religions. No, there is no compromise. There's only one God, one faith, one Father of us all. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. Is that just what I talked about? Every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So God has one way. There is no multiple ways, just one way. I don't care if people like it or not. This is what the Word says. God's process for us is the process He has is, let me just rephrase it. The process God has for us to renew our mind with what His Word says, not with what everything that's floating out there says, but by His Word alone. And, you know, if you don't look in His Word, you don't get in the book, you won't ever know. Okay. This is the Lord speaking here. We adapt to His ways, not God adapt to the world's ways. It's not going to happen. Here's what the Lord said. I wanted to wipe out the children many times in their wilderness experience as they came out of Egypt. They were so unrenewed in their mind to my ways, but I and put my representative Moses, he stood in the gap to build a bridge to help them pass over. He had a go-between. He would have wiped them out, but Moses said, no, you're the righteous God. You wouldn't do something like that, would you? Have patience, Lord. I'll talk to him. He stood in the gap. This is the message the Lord is speaking to us today. Resist the urge to lash out at those that do not see the glory that you see, but be a bridge of hope for them to pass over. They're so unrenewed in their mind, it's nearly you can't already stand to be around them. It will be a new ground for them, but not for us. The kingdom has come. It is in us, and we can only release it as the people are ready. Going from the world system to God's system is a transition, just like the wilderness bunch coming out of Egypt. Little by little, I will lead you in this process. Faith Avenue is a perfect bridge to help them pass over without overwhelming them. It's a drop here and a drop there. Seems like Old Testament prophets had a hard time, but it has not been so easy for the ones of today bringing God's message either. It seems everyone is on board when it is a word of good things, but they balk if they are corrected. They just tell you how far they are from God and His ways. All right, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 7. Starting with verse 23 there. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, unto this day I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. Thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. You know why it gets worse with each generation? Wickedness grows bigger. Like it or not, this is a responsibility of the office of the prophet. The prophet will always expose the Antichrist spirit among God's people. Now, I don't know about every prophet, but those that are called of God and are following His voice, if they're not indoctrinated, you know, so much in the body of Christ, they've been indoctrinated with church doctrine and pet peeve doctrines. And so how can they know the truth? How can they ever know the truth unless they come out of that and are corrected? All right, let's go to Ezekiel. This is going to be, we're going to read. This is a cool book. One of the coolest books in the Bible as far as I'm concerned. All right, chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, so they're in exile, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar. The hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and the fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also, out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. This is in Revelation 4, 6 through 9. They had the likeness of a man. Everyone had four faces. Everyone had four wings. And their feet were straight feet. And the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of the burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. And they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went, They went everyone straight forward. And for the likeness of their faces, they had four. Had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side, and they had the face of an ox on the left side. Then four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward whither the Spirit was to go. They went, and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a barrel, and they four had one likeness in their appearance, and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them, and when the creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. I think the wheels signify eternity. There's no end. No end to eternity. A ring, kind of like a wedding ring. There is no end, no beginning. That's the way God is, no end, no beginning. Whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went. Whither was their spirit to go? And the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When those went, these went. When those stood, these stood. And when these were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament was above the heads of the living creatures, was as the color of the terrible crystals stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Every one had two, which covered on this side, and every one had two, which covered on that side their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of a host. When they stood, they let down their wings. There was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. It says God sits on the circle of the earth, his throne. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. This is Revelation 4, 2 through 3. As I saw, as the color of amber, as the appearance of the fire round about within, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire and had brightness round about. And as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud and in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of that one that spake. I'm going to read chapter 2. There is a point to this. In essence, the chariot arrived, or this time machine or whatever it is that God's traveling in, his throne, eternity, came to escort the temple or the Spirit of God out of the temple. It was not to return. It has not returned. All right. He said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day, for they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, and they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. There'll be no excuse. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, For they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. Revelation 10:10. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Chapter 3. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. Same thing happened to John. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. In other words, it's burning within. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, God's word is always sweet, but the message is not always sweet when it comes out. Sometimes it's bitter. People don't receive it. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely have I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house, in other words, if he went to strangers, they would listen, but the house of Israel wouldn't. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto me, for they will not hearken unto me, for all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and their forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ear. And go get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and a noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. That's kind of what, as I was reading this, I said, Lord, that's why when you give me a word for somebody, it's hard. Bitterness of spirit, of the word you have to deliver, knowing that probably won't even hear you anyway. Then I came to them of the captivity of Tel Abib. They dwelt by the river Chebar, and I sat where they sat, remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I've made thee a watchman of the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require of thine hand. In other words, if you don't speak the word that I give you to speak, then it'll be on you. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doubt, turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. The hand of the Lord was there upon me, and he said unto me, Arise, go forth into the plain, and I will there talk with thee. Then I arose and went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, as the glory which I saw by the river Chebar, and I fell on my face. And the Spirit entered into me, and set me upon my feet, and spake unto me, and he said unto me, Go shut thyself within thine house. But thou, son of man, behold, they shall put bands upon thee, and shall bind thee with them, and thou shalt not go out among them. Now I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, that thou shalt be dumb, and thou shalt not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak unto thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, He that heareth, let him hear, He that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house. If they do not obey, they will answer to God for it. Personally, I have seen just how stiff-necked the few in the church that I've given words to over the years have been. If it is a good word, they thank you and say praise God, but if it's a word of correction, they treat you like you have the plague or criticize you. If we will not receive correction, then there is no hope for moving forward. This is the thing about God he will not overlook. He will not stop right there until the thing is corrected in the He will stop right there until the thing is corrected in the person's life. They may go on and do their thing, but God will not be in it or participate in it until the person corrects themselves. This is why many live and die and never attain to the things God said to them. It will be God's way or no way. God warned Ezekiel that they were stiff-necked. The church has become so arrogant in their beliefs that they will usually not hear anyone that has a different message. This is what Jesus dealt with as well as John the Baptist, the Sadducees, and the Pharisees. Some are so staunch in their beliefs that they call you a false teacher, a false prophet, if you do not agree with them. What if the Word of God is indicating something differently? That's how the Lord posed it to me. You bring something they have never heard, so they say you're a false teacher, a false prophet, because you do so. All right, for the prophet, the word of the Lord that they bring at times is a do or die situation. They did not even believe God's very own son. They didn't even believe Jesus. Jeremiah said this. Let me turn to Jeremiah now. Jeremiah 6:16. Talking about the voice of the prophet. The office of the prophet. Thus saith the Lord, this is verse 16, 6:16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way and walk therein? Ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Remember who gave us that word about this ministry way back? Not even alive today. Jeremiah 29:20, verse 9. Then said I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He was trying not to obey, but it burned like fire in his bones. He had no choice but to bring the word. It was just like today in Jeremiah's. It's like today, like Jeremiah's day, I believe. People were cannibals that ate their own children and all the satanic worship that was going on. That's why they went into exile for 70 years. It was a lot worse. I mean, it's a lot worse today than it was then. It's just more widespread, okay? During the years of the dispersion, it scattered all the Jews throughout the earth. The prophet Ezekiel witnessed firsthand God moving out of the temple. Remember the hole in the wall, Ezekiel chapter 8. See, they were underground, just like the satanics today or had their bunkers and their cities underground. They were doing this all under our feet, and we didn't know anything about it. All right, Ezekiel chapter 8. It came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness is the appearance of fire from the appearance of his loins even downward, fire from his loins even upward, as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. And he put forth the form of a hand and took me by a lock of mine head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. Behold, the glory of God of Israel was there according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up my eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary, but turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court. When I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go in and behold the wicked abominations they do here. So I went in and saw and behold every form of creeping things and abominable beasts and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. In the midst of them stood Jaazaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, The Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. He said also unto me, Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than they that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Then said he unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs towards the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they worshipped the sun toward the east. Then he said unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. That's, I know in Indian cultures they do the branch to the nose. They burn the rope and all that, you know, all that crap they do. Yeah. Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. Though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. All right, let's go over to chapter 10. This is progressive. It started with Israel. We're supposed to want to be like Israel? All right, chapter 10. Then I looked and behold in the firmament, there was above the head of the cherubims, there appeared over them, as it were, a sapphire stone, as the appearance of the likeness of a throne. Revelation 4 again, the creatures. And he said unto the man clothed with linen, and said, Go in between the wheels, even unto the cherub, and fill thine hand with coals of fire from between the cherubims, and scatter them over the city. And he went in my sight. Now the cherubs stood on the right side of the house when the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord went from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house. He's coming out. Remember Solomon and the big celebration he had, and the fire of God came down and consumed it, and he went into the temple? He's leaving. And the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was filled full of the brightness of the Lord's glory, and the sound of the cherubim's wings was heard even to the outer court as the voice of the Almighty God when he speaketh. It came to pass that when he had commanded the man clothed with linen, saying, Take fire from between the wheels, from between the cherubims, then he went in and stood beside the wheels, and one cherub stretched forth his hand from between the cherubs unto the fire that was between the cherubs, and took thereof and put it into the hands of him that was clothed with linen, who took it and went out. And there appeared in the cherubims the form of a man's hand under their wings. And when I looked, behold, the four wheels of the cherubims, one wheel by one cherub, and another wheel by another cherub, and the appearance of the wheels was as the color of a beryl stone. And as for their appearance, they four had one likeness, as if a wheel had been in the midst of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides. They turned not as they went, but to the place where the head looked, they followed it. They turned not as they went. And their whole body, and their backs, and their hands, and their wings, and the wheels were all full of eyes round about in the wheels. They four had. As for the wheels, it was cried unto them in my hearing, O wheel. Everyone had four faces. The fourth face was like the face of a cherub. The second face was the face of a man. The third, the face of a lion. The fourth, the face of an eagle. And the cherubims were lifted up. This is the living creature that I saw by the river Chebar. When the cherubims went, the wheels went by them. And when the cherubims lifted up their wings to mount up from the earth, the same wheels also turned not from beside them. When they stood, these stood. And when they lifted up, these lifted up themselves also, for the spirit of the living creatures was in them. Then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubs. The cherubs lifted up their wings and mounted up with the earth in my sight when they went out. The wheels also were beside them, and everyone stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of the God of Israel was over them above. This is the living creature that I saw under the God of Israel by the river Chebar, and I knew that they were the cherubims. Everyone had four faces apiece, everyone four wings, and the likeness of the hands of a man were under their wings, and the likeness of their faces was of the same faces which I saw by the river Chebar. Their appearances and themselves, they went everyone straight toward. So God's spirit is escorted out of the temple. Now we see in Revelation 4, God is on his throne and the cherubims are there. All right. God's transportation showed up to escort God's spirit back to heaven. Israel rejected him, so he rejected them. Okay, 11. We're not going to read the whole chapter, just a few scriptures. 1 and 2. Moreover, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the east gate of the Lord's house, which looked eastward, and behold, at the door of the gate, 25 men, among whom I saw Jazaniah, the son of Azur, Pelatiah, the son of Benaniah, princes of the people. Then said he unto me, Son of man, these are the men that devise mischief and give wicked counsel in this city. These leaders right here. All right, go over 22. Then did the cherubs lift up the wings and the wheels beside them, and the glory of God of Israel was over them above. The glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood upon the mountain, which is on the east side of the city. Afterwards, the spirits took me up and brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God into Chaldea to them of the captivity. So the vision that I had seen went up from me. Then I spake unto them of the captivity all the things that the Lord had showed me. All right, chapter 12, verse 15. And they know... Then they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall scatter them among the nations and disperse them in the countries. So God has scattered the Jews all over the different nations. We know that. So this is where the devil intercepted the plan right here. The Balfour Declaration, the AKA Rothschild operation that was totally infiltrated. And infiltrated the church too. It's gotten them totally off course. The church has lost its first love, much like the church in Ephesus. The Balfour Agreement was to take land from the people that lived there and make it a habitation for the dispersed Jews. God was not in this, but Satan was. Christians, the lie of the world, and the sons of God took a back seat to this satanic plan and was made subservient to it. We don't need a deep state swamp creature to gather in God's people. God is well able to do it. In fact, he already has through his son, Jesus Christ. The body of Christ are no distinctions. This is Galatians chapter 3. In other words, God gathers his own people. Revelation says so. not the Rothschilds, in an unholy alliance. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All right, 28 and 29. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We're not of this Luciferian deep state operation. This is the work of the flesh. See, Paul had a lot of friction over this. The fate of Stephen was over these facts right here. This is Acts chapter 7. You know, they stoned Stephen to death for the facts that he was quoting to the Pharisees of that day. This is 7. Let's start with verse 47 there. All right, but Solomon built him a house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff neck and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it. All right. Well, I have down to 60. Let's read on down. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. It wasn't in the temple. It was in the right hand of God. It's on in the heavens, in heaven. He's back in heaven. He's not in the temple anymore. He's not returning. He never returned. He never plans to. And said, behold, except in you. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And then they cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. When he had said this, he fell asleep. Help us, Lord. Acts 17. If Christians know their scriptures, there is no argument. There is no argument. All right, 17:22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions and found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worship with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and he hath determined the times before appointed in the bounds of every habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of our own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, wherever he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. See, they didn't believe in Jesus either. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again on this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed among the which was Sias the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with him. Some believed, some wouldn't. This is my opinion. I believe that the church must come to repentance on these issues. Maybe they are too far gone, the old guard perhaps. But moving forward, we cannot allow this to happen again. The Jew junk fallacy has sabotaged the whole church except for those of the new guard. New wine, new wineskins. Hard to hear, but essential to move forward. All right, a few more scriptures here. Galatians 5. Stand fast, therefore, in liberty, wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. It's not by works. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. This is exactly as what happened to the Christian church. Have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. For, brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one another. He's talking about the fighting, the infighting about this subject. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. They cannot coexist. The little leaven will leaven the whole lump. If you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now it goes on to talk about the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. All right. Galatians 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So let us not be weary in well-doing. For due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all the men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. And this is Paul, Pharisee of the Pharisees, teaching this to the church. Okay, let's go over to the book of Revelation. We're going to see a few places here where Jesus dealt with them because of this Jewish infiltration. Revelation 2, 8 and 9. And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Who is the true Jew now? Jews were the Christians. So these are infiltrators. All right, 13. I know this is the church of Pergamos here. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my name. And hast not denied my faith. Even in those days when Antipas was my faithful martyr who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. I'm telling you, this is the Jewish infiltration. All right, 18. And unto that angel of the church at Thyatira, write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know thy works of charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, the last to be more than the first, notwithstanding. Have a few things against thee, because thou severest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. They gave her space to repent of her fornication, she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the heart, reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as I have not this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. He was pretty adamant about it then. How much more now? You know, John the Baptist was murdered because he called out wicked Herod. He's in adultery. Killed him. Had his head cut off. The church is going to have to be doing a lot of changing. The prophet carries God's secrets and blueprints. Seems all throughout history, the prophets have been persecuted for being God's, revealing God's secrets and revealing his plans for man. Right here, 2 Chronicles 18:17. I said, Lord, I'm thinking about changing my name to Micaiah. You know, you just think, dear Lord in heaven, is there anyone that wants to hear the word of the Lord? Isn't there, what was the one that said, Lord, have they believed our report? 2 Chronicles 18:17. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that thou would not prophesy good unto me, but evil? In other words, they're going to, right here, 13. Well, let's start with 12. And the message that was went to call Micaiah, because Jehoshaphat wanted a prophet of the Lord. All right, saying, behold, the words of the prophets declare good to the king, with one assent. Let thy word, therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak thou good. Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak. And when he was come to the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And he said, go ye up and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand. The king said to him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou say nothing but truth to me in the name of the Lord? Then he said, I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return, therefore, every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would not prophesy good unto me, but evil? And he said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, and all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one spake saying after this manner, and another saying after that manner. He ended up dying that day. But he had told Jehoshaphat, I don't want to call him. He never prophesies anything good to me. It's always bad. Well, he was bad. The Lord really couldn't. I remember Art Katz coming to our fellowship and talking about we were in soulishness in the shepherding movement. What do? We followed right along with the shepherding, with the soulishness. The leadership did. All right. God is raising up apostles and prophets for this time and this hour. With the results of the election, we can plainly see their leadership in play here. The spiritual mapping that has taken place, especially in the last 8 years, has turned our nation around. It is my hope that the church will esteem these offices like God esteems them. They're crucial to our success as we go into our new Jerusalem. I said new. Do you realize what that means? It's not going to be the old work of the flesh, but the work of the Holy Spirit. The White Hats will take their bows and get recognition, and the digital soldiers will also take their bows. But God will honor His apostles and prophets that have led the way to this victory and their teams with them. Through our God, we shall triumph valiantly. Just a side note here. This is Isaiah 30:21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand, when you turn to the left. Now, I was taught that meant, well, if you get behind you, you missed it. No, it means here, that's the voice of the prophets. That's the voice of the prophets. Here, I hear it over my right shoulder. I hear that voice. So, the Lord quickened that to me yesterday. I said, so that's what that is that I hear. This is the voice of the prophets. All right.